Hello and a very warm welcome to Political Economy with Shweta Punj. We are barely a few days away from the time when India goes to polls. The first phase of polling begins on April 19th, and the states of Tamil Nadu, Arunachal Pradesh, Uttarakhand, Manipur, Meghalaya, Mizoram, Sikkim, and Nagaland will vote in phase one on April 19th. Now, Tamil Nadu is one of the most significant states that is going to go to polls on April 19th, and also very crucial for the BJP to win. It is that electoral prize that has eluded the BJP for a very, very long time. There are about 39 seats in the state of Tamil Nadu alone, which makes it a very tough fight in Tamil Nadu, and it is also the biggest electoral prize. Today I have with me Mr. Sanjay Kumar of CSDS. I'm hoping to understand from him the key issues that are dominating this election. CSDS, along with Lokniti, has conducted a very exhaustive survey of Indians across the country on the key issues that they're going to be casting their vote on. And as a sophologist, I'm hoping to get clarity from him on the key issues that will dominate elections in the southern states. What are BJP's challenges in the south, and what is BJP's strategy there? Sanjayji, thank you so much for taking up the time. Much like journalists, it's a very, very busy time for you. In fact, maybe busier, because we get all our content from you. So thank you so much for joining. Let's begin with the CSDS survey. I was going through it. Jobs, it seems like, has emerged on the top as one of the top concerns across the country.
Absolutely. Job has emerged as the top concern. Because a question which we asked, which is going to be your biggest concern in this election, or which is going to be the big issue in this election? And 27% of the people mentioned unemployment. So from different angles in the survey, this comes out to be the biggest concern of the voters of this country, whether we are talking about the South, North, East, West, or Central India.
Across age groups, women, men,
Absolutely.
Okay, so, you know, it's a pretty big number, 65% saying that jobs is going to be, is a key factor for them. Considering a lot of the BJP's manifesto is geared towards development, also the BJP, when it was voted into power in 2014, said that jobs is going to be key for, a centerpiece of our governance. We've seen the Congress manifesto as well. But even after 10 years of governance, so, you know, we see this emerging as a big concern. Did you also sense a sense of apathy, maybe a sense of frustration with people on the ground on this specific issue, Mr. Kumar?
I don't see any frustration, but yes, there is a lot of disappointment. Disappointment because the expectation from the government was huge. And when they compare what has been delivered compared to the expectation, they feel a little disappointed. They expected jobs to be created in much bigger numbers, which has not happened. So yes, there is a disappointment when it comes to situation with regard to job, economy, and related issues.
But you were also talking about, this whole narrative that's being set by the BJP about creating job creators. So is that softening the disappointment a bit? Is that narrative finding traction with people?
Yeah, absolutely. I think despite unemployment on the rise, why don't we see a lot of anger on the ground? I think because the government has been able to send out an alternative narrative. And what is that narrative? Startup. This is the age of startup. Even in the recent manifesto, I think there's a mention of the amount for the startup loan to be increased from 10 lakhs to 20,000, 10 lakhs to 20 lakhs. So the message which is being sent out, don't be the job seeker, become a job giver, which is to say, you should not only depend upon the government to look for jobs. Why don't you start up your own business? Because this is also a very good opportunity for people like the young people who are getting trained. So I think this is also becoming slightly attractive among the young people. We have been doing surveys among the young people as well, and we have figured out that there is a change in attitude if we look at what kind of a job do the youth want. And the expectation or the likeness for starting their own startup has gone up during last 5 or 6 years. So I think this whole change in attitude towards what kind of a job, whether you should be looking for a job or you should be setting up your own business, your own startup, that seems to be working in favor of government. Because if that was not the narrative, I think we would have seen more anger on the ground among the youth on the issue of unemployment.
Fascinating. The survey also talks about price rise as an issue and corruption. So can you take us some of those findings? What were the key points? Yeah,
the second most important issue from voters' point of view was price rise. Again, if we look at price rise as an issue, and we try to compare it with the surveys which we have been conducting during the last assembly election. And this is a big concern among the voters for the last couple of years. But Shweta, you would have noticed that this was a concern for the voters even in UP assembly election, even in Uttarakhand assembly election. But we witnessed that people re-elected the same government, the BJP government in these two states. What is happening is that standalone, yes, this is a concern. But my own sense is that this is not a concern which is shaping people's voting choices. They are voting on other issues, other issues are shaping their voting decision. Also, people think that, you know, prices have gone up today, tomorrow it may come down. So it may be episodic. Today the prices of vegetables have gone up, it can come down tomorrow. And again, the intent of the government, that's not being questioned. Because generally people believe, a very large number of voters believe, that the intention of the government has been good. Prime Minister is working day and night for the welfare of the people, for the development of the country. Yes, he may not be successful in handling all the problems at one go, but he is still working hard to solve the problems of the common people.
Okay. So, you know, Dr. Kumar, you've been doing this. You've been in the business of sophology for decades now. Do you see this as an aberration that even after 10 years of being in power, Mr. Modi continues to enjoy so much confidence that that his intentions are never doubted, while there is a lot that could have been done on job creation and so on? Corruption still remains a concern, which has been one of the key poll planks of the BJP. But Mr. Modi's popularity remains intact. Isn't that quite, that's an aberration, I'm thinking.
Why would we use the word? I would not like to use the word aberration, because Prime Minister Modi's work is being evaluated by the people on various parameters. Yes, on one parameter, if you talk about price rise, unemployment, people have a disappointment and people believe that unemployment is on the up and prices have gone up. But there are various other kinds of work which people appreciate and gives a thumbs up to the government when it comes to Bijli Pani Sadak, etc. The things which connects to the day-to-day life of the people, a very large number of people believe that these things have improved. But much more than that, some of the achievements of the government, people give huge credit and they believe that these are the things which has not happened in the country for the last many decades. And before the BJP came to power, they never expected these things to happen. And I'm referring to the construction of Ram Mandir, abrogation of Article 370, the Hindutva pride, national, the image of country going up across the world, India emerging as a very strong economy in the world. So these are the positive narratives which helps the BJP and it helps Narendra Modi in remaining as popular as he seems at this moment.
Interesting. Now, when I meant aberration, I meant that, you know, it's not very common to see a leader who's been in power for 10 years and still, you know, still being able to communicate his intentions to the public and to be able to keep that connect alive. That's what I was referring to. And that's why I wanted to ask you that, have you seen this in the past when a leader has been in power for such a long time and yet continues to, you know, drive that connect with people on ground on different issues?
You're right, Shweta, that you will not find large number of leaders of such kind. But it's not that Prime Minister Modi is the only leader who is able to establish connect with the people despite being a power for so long. Don't forget, Naveen Patnaik has been in power, is the Chief Minister of Odisha for 25 years. We should not forget Jyoti Basu, who was one of the longest serving Chief Minister in a state. Pawan Chamling, a small state in Sikkim. He was the Chief Minister for Sikkim, in Sikkim for a very long time. Tripura, very long time left rule, and the Chief Minister was there for a very long time. So there are a few more examples of that kind. Shivraj Singh Chauhan, 18 years Chief Minister, and he led the party to a massive victory in 2023 assembly election. So there are a few leaders who, despite being in power or being at the helm of affairs, remain popular. And the reason is simple, because they have been able to deliver to the people. They have been able to establish a connect with the people. And this is also a big asset with Prime Minister Modi. He has been the Chief Minister of Gujarat before he became the Prime Minister for almost 15, 16 years. And then he has been the Prime Minister for last 10 years. So almost 26, 27 years in public life, being the Chief Minister or Prime Minister. Despite that, his popularity remains very, very high. If you compare it with any other political leader in the country or even internationally, he is a very popular leader.
Right. So, Sanjayji, let's move now to Tamil Nadu. You know, it's one of the states that's going to polls on April 19th. We are looking at 39 seats in Tamil Nadu. It's a very tough fight in the state. And also, it has been BJP's challenge through the last 10 years it's been in power and before that. So, any specific issues that have emerged specifically from Tamil Nadu and the other southern states?
I think this is the first election when BJP will have a challenge in Tamil Nadu, because in the past two Lok Sabha elections, 2014 and 19, I don't think that BJP was very serious in making inroads in Tamil Nadu. The focus was more on the states where BJP thought that they can make an impact with lesser effort. But now, having established supremacy in the many of the North Indian states, BJP is trying to make inroads in the southern states. Karnataka, they are already very, very strong. They have made alliances in Andhra Pradesh. They also seem to be emerging very strong in Telangana. So Tamil Nadu is a state, you rightly mentioned, 39 seats come to the Lok Sabha from Tamil Nadu. And BJP is trying to work very hard to have an impact in Tamil Nadu. BJP first tried to form an alliance with its previous alliance partner, AIDMK. I don't think so. BJP finally did not manage, or BJP decided not to have an alliance with AIDMK. BJP has managed to form alliance with two small regional parties. So my own sense is that it is going to be a three-way contest. In Tamil Nadu this time, DMK and the allies on one hand, AIDMK and the allies on the other hand, and BJP plus its allies on the third player. Now the question is whether the third player will be the third player, or can third player become the first player or the second player. My own sense is that BJP is getting an attraction in Tamil Nadu, but it will still remain the third player, but not a distant third. BJP is getting attraction. My own sense is BJP is very close to the vote share in the 20s along with the allies. Maybe 21%, it could be even 18-19%. But BJP is emerging as a strong player in Tamil Nadu in 2024 Lok Sabha election. When I say strong player, I'm not saying which BJP is sure to win a couple of seats. But yes, in a very large number of seats, they could be number two. In large number of seats, they could be very close number three. They could even pull victories in one or two seats. Who knows?
Okay, so from a 4% vote share in 2019, you're saying that it could go up to 19-20% in 2024. That's a huge leap for the BJP, specifically in Tamil Nadu. Now we have Mr. Annamalai there, who is a very dynamic leader. He's really made an impression. He is leading the party in the state. And quite definitively, we've seen Prime Minister Modi also conduct a lot of rallies. And Sanjayji, in BJP's strategy in the southern states, specifically Tamil Nadu, if you see Prime Minister Modi's speeches there, while he spoke in Hindi, he did not talk. He kept his speeches very focused on development. He spoke about his love for regional languages. He did not mention the Ram Mandir there. So how has the BJP really reworked its strategy to cater to the southern voter?
I think there is a big divide if you look at BJP's strategy or the tone and tenor of campaign. If you look at North India and South India, North India, it is more about Ram Mandir, Hindutva, etc. But in the southern state, it is not about Ram Mandir, it is not about Hindutva, it is more about development. And development of what kind? India's image, India's relationship with foreign countries. Visa for Indians becoming easier in a very large number of countries. Visa on arrival facility in a large number of countries. The reason being very simple. I think if you look at the southern states, Tamil Nadu or Andhra or Kerala, these are the states from where a very large number of people go to work abroad, whether it is in Malaysia or in Sri Lanka and various other countries, in the Gulf. So right. The messaging is very clear. It is not about Ram Mandir. It is not about Hindutva. It is more about India emerging strong, India's relationship with foreign countries, how Indians are getting respect in other countries, much more compared to what it used to be in the past. We should not forget that in the manifesto, and when Prime Minister Modi was speaking, when the manifesto of BJP was being released, which they called Sankalp Patra, Prime Minister Narendra Modi did mention that Tamil is one of the oldest languages. So he's sending out a message to the people of Tamil Nadu. Don't forget that Sengal, which has been now installed in the new parliament, was brought from Tamil Nadu. Don't forget that Prime Minister Modi started his campaign from Tamil Nadu. Even for the inauguration of Ram Mandir, he started, Prime Minister Modi had kept, I think, 10 days past, and he had performed several rituals before performing the final ritual on 22nd of January in Ayodhya. He started that ceremony from Tamil Nadu. So enough signals to indicate that BJP has worked very hard to make its footprint more visible in Tamil Nadu and in southern state. And the strategy of campaign in southern state, especially in Tamil Nadu, compared to North Indian state, has been very, very different.
So this has all happened in the last 5 years, because in 2019, among BJP's voters nationally,
not
only
even 5 years. Not even 5 years. I think last 1.5 years. Very aggressive focus on Tamil Nadu. 1.5 years, more than 2 years.
Yeah. So is that a long enough time, Sanjayji? Is that resonating with people on the ground? During the time when you conducted your survey, which was around end of April, March 28th to 8th of April, did you see that these issues, the new issues that BJP is building up on in the southern states, are they finding any takers in, amongst voters?
Certainly, if the survey estimates that in Tamil Nadu, they could go up to, say, 15, 16, 17% vote, there are definitely takers for what BJP is trying to campaign for, what BJP says it stands for. So certainly, the increasing support base of BJP gives me an indication that there are takers for BJP's narrative in the southern state, especially when we are talking about Tamil Nadu.
Interesting. And Sanjayji, if we could talk a little bit about the fact that the BJP did not go with the AIADMK, do you think that can backfire for the BJP in Tamil Nadu?
I have no idea about what went wrong, whether BJP decided not to form an alliance, what happened. So I have no idea about, because journalists like you will have the juicy stories. The data is very dry. The work of the data is very boring, dry. Data doesn't tell us what is going behind the curtain.
Right. So, let's talk a little bit about how crucial is it for the BJP to get to the southern states. It wants to, it is the largest national party. So, and right now the whole sloganeering is Ab Ki Baar 400 Paar, and the southern states will have to come on board for that to happen. Also, the southern states are the wealthier states. They are the states where the money is, whether you talk about startups that are mostly based in Karnataka or Apple's 14 suppliers in India, 11 are in the southern part of the country. So whether it's manufacturing, whether it's tech, all of that is part of Southern India, and all of that is in Southern India. So from a party point of view, Sanjayji, how important is it for BJP to really crack the Southern code this time?
Oh, I don't think it's about Southern state being rich or poor, Southern state having being the hub of IT sector. I think it is more important for BJP to make inroads in the Southern state because of the target which Prime Minister Modi has set for BJP and for NDA. If BJP has to come anywhere close to 370 or even achieve 370, if NDA has to come anywhere close to 400, they have to make huge inroads in the Southern state. If you look at the northern states in the north, there are states where BJP has maximized. Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh, Uttarakhand, Himachal, Gujarat, large number of states. There are a few states where BJP still can increase the tally, UP, Bihar, they have maximized. So if they have to increase the tally, they have to move to the southern state. Karnataka, they have won 25 out of 28 seats. So Karnataka, there is not enough space. So where is the space? Kerala would be very difficult because Kerala is kind of a bipolarity between UDF and LDF on one side and UDF and on one side and LDF on the other side. In Kerala also, BJP is trying to make inroads and working hard. But between Kerala and Tamil Nadu, Tamil Nadu accounts for 39 seats and Kerala accounts for only 20 seats. Half. So BJP is working very hard and BJP also get a sense that maybe the disenchantment from AIDMK in Tamil Nadu would be much higher compared to disenchantment the Keralites between UDF or the LDF. So BJP is working very hard and it is important for BJP to make inroads in the southern states if they have to come close to 370. Even if they want to increase the tally compared to their tally of 2019, the only way is to increase the tally in the southern states.
So in 2019, it won 29 of the 129 Lok Sabha seats, representing the five southern states of Andhra Pradesh, Karnataka, Kerala, Tamil Nadu, and Telangana.
And out of these 29 seats, 25 are from Karnataka only.
Right. So are we looking at a very uphill battle, or are we looking at a scenario where a lot of what the BJP is saying right now will actually translate into a higher number of seats in these states?
I'm not sure whether it will translate into higher number of seats, but it will certainly translate into higher number of votes. Because the BJP is getting attraction, whether we are talking about Telangana, Kerala, Tamil Nadu. In Andhra, they have a formidable alliance. They have formed an alliance with TDP and Janasena. So they are getting some attraction there. Anyway, BJP will gain in Andhra because of the alliance with the strong regional party. So BJP is getting attraction. And I can say this for sure because from the surveys which we have conducted recently, we get a sense that BJP is being liked by much bigger number of people now compared to what it was in 2019.
Okay. Do you also see that in 2026, we have state elections coming up, and especially in two of the key southern states. And then we also have this whole promise of delimitation, which has the southern states riled up. We've seen the southern states protesting against GST. They have been saying that they're being penalized for population control measures and so on. How do you see that playing out, in terms of this whole north-south divide and for the BJP? Are these issues gaining traction on ground there? The issue of delimitation, which Mr. Stalin has made a big electoral issue.
No, this is not an issue among the common voters of this country. You have to pick up, if you want to make inroads among the people of the voters of the state or voters of the country, you have to pick up the issue which concerns them. Or at least people feel happy about that. Delimitation is not an issue about which people have, know-how, knowledge about that. And I think BJP, the parties would find it very difficult to find a language through which they can communicate this to the people. So I don't see delimitation becoming an issue in 2024 Lok Sabha elections. Yes, to some extent, this whole issue of southern state being punished, even though these states contribute a large number of or a large proportion of money to the country's exchequer. That may have some resonance, and we must acknowledge that there has to be some reason why BJP has found it very difficult to make inroads in the southern state. This being one of those one of the reasons, besides several other reasons.
All right. Okay. Finally, Sanjayji, any numbers that you can leave us with? In any projections that you'd like to share with us on the number of seats that the BJP can get in Tamil Nadu, in Kerala, in Telangana, in Andhra Pradesh?
Very difficult to say about the numbers, but my own sense is that whichever state you mention, you Telangana, Kerala, Tamil Nadu, these are the states where BJP is certainly going to improve upon its tally, improve compared to its performance in 2019. Definitely in terms of vote share, I'm not sure whether BJP will improve its tally also. I won't be surprised if BJP opens its account in, say, maybe one or two seats in Kerala, one or two seats in Tamil Nadu. It would not come as a surprise.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Sanjayji. We'll, of course, keep coming back to you for more detailed analysis as different parts of the country goes to polls at different times and on different days. Thank you so much. And thanks so much to our viewers and our listeners for tuning in. Thank you.
Thank you.